The Second Epistle of Peter, Chapter 3.
This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
Long ago, as the young Galilean fishermen's hearts were stirred up by the prophesying of the great prophet John, the son of the old righteous priest Zacharias, the Lamb of God approached the forerunner. The answer of the prophet had to be astonishing to them. By far more awesome was the testimony of the Almighty Father in heaven, "My beloved Son, in whom I am perfectly delighted." As the disciples of John followed the Messiah, more and more of the Father's delight streamed from him into their souls. The Spirit of the Father's beloved filled their hearts and made them beloved also in him. As they proclaimed the gospel of the resurrected Christ, all that trusted and obeyed the Father's beloved became beloved in him. In this chapter 3, verse 1, Peter is writing, "To beloved." The minds of the disciples are made pure. By recalling the known gospel facts, our minds get stirred up. Our precious memories are refreshed. The living word is revived in our hearts, and once again we see afresh, we are our Father's beloved children in Christ. So much of our Father's love and grace in the Son, through the Apostles' writing, flows into our souls. Such a great and glorious God we have, without any credit to ourselves. In the last years of his earthly journey, Peter is sharing this rich grace with us. The world is saturated with evil impressions, invitations and promises of sinful pleasures. In this verse number 2, we are encouraged to be mindful of the prophetic messages fulfilled in our Redeemer and Master, Jesus. His commandments the apostles gave to us. All of the Bible books are one message from above, and the Savior is that message, alive. The living Word of God, the only begotten Son of the Father, is the fulfillment of His Father's will and the perfect expression of His message to our generation. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Even suffering in Him is a blessing. In the world we can expect tribulation, as our Lord told us in John 16:33. The scoffers in this verse number 3 are among the believers. A nominal believer walking after his own lusts is emitting a message of disrespect toward Christ. An amazing evidence we find in the book of Acts and in the epistles. The zeal of the faithful disciples is invested in the prosperity of the flock in their time and in arming the brethren for the dangerous times coming. All the scriptures are parts of one gospel. When Christ's Spirit reigns in us, He makes us a part of His testimony, His gospel call. The scoffers are mocking the message. The faithful ones are the message. He is coming. The scoffers are willingly ignorant of the scriptural fulfillments, blinded by their lusts. Since the times of the fathers, even since the beginning of the world, God's truth remains, and even these scoffers are a part of the fulfillment of the things foretold. If they would seek the truth, they could have escaped their predicament and peril. But their ignorance is their own choice. One who despised the Lord defected to Satan. In the verse number 5, Peter is reminding us of the first world created by the Word of God and also destroyed by the Word. The same Word of God, God gave a clear sign, His condemnation of man's sin. The same Word of God is being fulfilled in our times. Today, sinfulness is multiplied exceedingly. The last change will be greater than the former. The blessings and rejoicing of the deliverance will be far greater than the joy of Noah and his family. The flood lasted about a year. The hell is going to burn forever. The sinners died in the flood. The sinners in hell will suffer forever. The same day of God's judgment brings punishment for sin and deliverance from the oppression and even the presence of sin. In the verse number 7, it appears that Peter feels confident in God's preserving this universe for the time of His judgment. With all the evil and wickedness, demons and sinners cannot destroy it. The gospel is preached. The redeemed ones wait for the Lord. Comparing verse number 8 in this chapter with the verse number 4 in the Psalm number 90, I perceive that the apostle is reminding us of the infinite difference between our limited understanding and God's omniscience. Who am I to understand all of God's wisdom? The fact that I cannot understand and explain every word of God does not discredit God. To the contrary, it is an additional indication of His majestic grandeur. Because God is giving me His knowledge step by step, I keep beholding His beauty and wisdom on and on. Yesterday I did not understand what He has revealed today, and He might have chosen to teach me tomorrow what I do not know today. God works all for the good of His children. No deed of God is ever done too soon or too late. Just trust and obey the Lord. Many gospel teachings are multidimensional. Cain's hatred and rebellion was in developing many centuries, but God destroyed it in the year of the great flood. Noah's prophecy was preached for many decades and was fulfilled in the year of the flood. The prophecies about the deliverer were heard in broad daylight, but not understood for thousands of years. The redemption was accomplished in 3 hours of darkness on the stake of condemnation, suffering, and shame. No word of God ever failed or missed. Since the beginning of the creation and all the way through eternity, all is known to God, better known to Him than my personal experience of yesterday is remembered by me. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God is. In the verse number 9, Peter is going on with his confidence in God's divine wisdom, power, and His loving care for the souls He has redeemed in Christ, His beloved Son. Regardless how many question or even argue our Lord's timing, let us trust only in Him. Satan is striving to keep us in our sin and rebellion, but our Heavenly Father paid a great price for our salvation, and His Spirit is patiently working on our mind and heart to turn us in the right direction, to seek and find the greatest treasure for our souls, our Savior. The Father knows the day and the hour He has appointed for the great change. He has all things ready, yet He is patiently waiting for our readiness. Let us pray fervently and labor faithfully in His service down here, that His last call may be our great joy forever. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief, as a bad surprise to the unbelievers. The great noise will horrify the rebels. The same God who met His faithful witnesses in Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3 will take us in His loving embrace. New heaven and earth, the blessed abode of righteousness, is prepared for the diligent, godly children of our Father in Christ, the faithful believers whose godly manners and conversation was eagerly looking forward to the coming of the day of Christ's return. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but Christ's words shall be fulfilled. Matthew 24:36. By the same word we are encouraged in the verse 14, be diligent to be found in Him, our Lord and Master, walking in His light, as His blood is continually cleansing our life. As the Spirit of our Savior is urging us to be diligent, our willing submission to His will is our inward testimony that we are not relying on our own merit or achievement, only on His merit and His promises. We trust in Him, the author and finisher of our salvation. May our Heavenly Father make us and keep us diligent. May His grace be multiplied to our souls, cleansing us from every spot and blemish and filling us with peace. May the Bridegroom of our souls be our greatest desire, that we adore and serve Him always. When we are in Christ, the great noise, the fervent heat, and the destruction of the existing universe is not our fear. The appearance of our great Redeemer and King is our hope and our rejoicing. Our Son of Righteousness is arisen with healing in his wings. Malachi 4:2. In the verse 9 we see the Lord patiently waiting for all of the redeemed to repent, to receive the deliverance from darkness. In the verse 15 we see him still patiently holding the door of salvation open. Let us labor faithfully in the light of his word, inviting sinners. The Lord is not slack. We must not be slack. He is patient with us. We must be fervent with him, for him. Serving the Lord is an honor we cannot deserve. Pleasing him is delightful now and forever after. Wisdom from above is revealed in the entire apostolic writing. Why are some teachings difficult to understand? Verse 16 is explaining. In some of my interpretations I am unlearned and unstable. If I am ignorant and unstable in some parts that are difficult for me to understand, am I not ignorant and unstable in the entire Bible? How many times we cannot step on the path of understanding the Scriptures before we acknowledge our ignorance and our need to learn, to be enlightened by the Lord's Spirit. Twisting the meaning of God's Word to accommodate our disobedience is deadly for us. I think the verse number 16 implies that Peter has read all of Paul's epistles. I'm confident all the disciples regularly read all the writings. God gave them wisdom to write, to read, and to live accordingly. We do well to trust and obey the word of our Lord Jesus. Let deliberate ignorance and twisting of scriptural teachings be the error of the wicked. Let us be steadfast in prayers and Bible study, and the Lord will keep us safe in his care. The Lord's guidance never failed his own who trust and obey him in all things. Steadfastness and growing is a healthy Christian life. Healthy Christian life is filled with gratitude and praise. It is a preparation for the endless praise and worship in the heavenly glory. Endless adoration from us belongs to the Lord for all he is and for all his work. The writing of the Apostle Peter is so rich and so inspiring. Many years passed since the Galilean fisherman knelt down before the prophet from Nazareth confessing, "Lord, I am a sinful man." Peter and Andrew left their father with the helpers and followed Jesus. 3 years and a half they listened to the words of the Master, speaking as never a man spoke before. Miracles, never seen in the world before, became daily experience. The grace and power of the living Word of God, walking before them and living the gospel of salvation, gradually filled their souls with the awareness of him being the very Son of God. As the truth from above uncovered human vanities, many turned away. But when the Lord asked the 12 if they are leaving him also, Peter had the ready answer, "Lord, thou hast the words of life eternal." With the other 10 apostles, Peter was ready and willing to face battle and death following their Master, the Son of God. But to follow the Lamb of God being sacrificed for our sins, no man was ready that night. After they learned from the risen Savior the victory over Satan, sin, and death, they received the promised Spirit and with boldness proclaimed, "Christ is the way." The blessed gospel message was spreading like the flame of love from above, igniting many souls with that new life in Christ the Savior. the wonderful vision in Ezekiel 47 was being fulfilled, overcoming the fury of all the forces of evil and darkness. The Lord was with them. How much sweat, how many tears were shed, how many lives laid down upon the altar of the holy faith, and deepest gratitude before this blessed gospel reached our shores and touched our hearts to give life to us dead, to give light to us blind, to give joy to us sad. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all enter kingdom, what a time of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Savior, we'll praise Him and shout, "Victory, victory, victory!"